everyone. Neil here from Red Flare Models. And changing tack a little at the moment, what I'm going to do is we're diving into the fanverse of Star Wars. And a lot of our kind of community that we work with and know from Facebook or Instagram. So I've got an interview going on with Julian Ennels today. We're going to dive into his collection. He's just got the Razor Crest. We're pretty excited about that one. And he's going to share some pictures and things he's taken. But, you know, what I'm doing in part of these interviews is just learning more about people that are out there across the world. Julian's a guy from the UK, and we're going to learn a little bit more about him and his background. So I'm going to dive into the interview, and we'll chat to you later.
Yeah, I guess, if you want to start, I mean, I guess like everyone, the first movies, seeing that as a kid, just sort of, there was nothing else like it in existence, really, and it blew us all away. I got the toys. I've still got my old, very, very well played with Millennium Falcon. Should have kept a box, I guess. I don't know. I had the Snow Speeder in a box, which really sadly, when I got it out for my kids, like, I don't know what, 30 years later, that I'd left the batteries in it. And it had destroyed it.
Yeah.
But I realised something was wrong when I got it out of the attic because the box actually fell apart in my hand.
Right.
All one corner just... And I was on it, and I opened it all up, and it was plastic and everything. And I'm really angry and stupidly threw it away. And I should have probably cleaned it all out or even stripped it out or something.
Yeah.
And then I think that was something else that replacing that, again, because I've been like in Asia and I was in Russia as well working, I didn't have the joys of eBay. When I discovered eBay, that was when everything really sort of kicked off and took over, finding some of my old stuff. Or things that I'd lost or didn't have anymore or wanted, that always wanted, never had, and buying those things. I think there was a definite rekindling with the Phantom Menace. I just remember being at work and watching the trailers and getting so excited for this to relive it all again.
And then there's
always the debate online about whether they were good or not. I enjoyed them. I find them complicated in a way, overcomplicated. It didn't need to be as complicated as it was. I never get into the arguments about them. They're films, they're enjoyment. Take your brain out, leave it on the shelf.
Yeah.
Enjoy. I take any content from Star Wars, really. I don't, people argue whether it's good or bad in Star Wars. For me, I'll take it.
I think that's it. You know, it enriches the universe that you want to kind of, see yourself in, as you say, and put yourself in when you were a kid. And so, for me as well, that was something where I can kind of, yes, there's more scenes and there's more content and there's more creatures and things, but it's like, oh yeah, that's happening. And now you got so many spin-offs, and I think there's this whole resurgence with kind of streaming media and digital has allowed them to really take it forward.
Can explore so many different things. It's endless. I remember before, it was a while ago, there was a good, great article about why you'll never ever see the end of Star Wars, because it can go 10,000 years in any direction and introduce characters and of those characters, you can spin that off it's awesome. We can. They can go and do a spin-off series of anyone they we're going to get Cassian this, I think it's later this year.
Later, yep.
We've never met him before. It's not just Luke and the core crew anymore. It's all these other people, which all have a relevant story, and it just gives you more insight and interest and new ships and new...
Yeah. Or old ships repurposed in the
let's take a Naboo Starfighter and do it how we really want to do it. And everyone's going, I want that 3D print of it. When's it going to make a vintage collection? They will, I'm sure. There's reveals. It's like the troop transporter.
Yeah.
In Mandalorian.
Yeah.
You just know as soon as that rocks up, go, that was a product reveal.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, and that was just waiting and waiting and waiting for that to come. And the tank from Rogue One.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, just going, that's, oh god, how's he going to make it?
And all the new speeders and the speeder bikes and things like that, yeah, as well. You know, yeah, there's yeah, so many, as you say, there's so many variations now that I think is really driving, you know, yeah, fan, you know, desire, yeah, to say, oh, we want more, we want more.
And it opens up the world to a point where you can mash it up. You're not then going, oh, I'm trying to recreate a specific scene from A New Hope or whatever. It's just then you're just inspired and you just go into the universe and you'll create something. It will always look Star Warsy. You know, it's junk, it's scrappy. I like the now the sort of grunginess of it all and the broken things and you know, the remnant stormtroopers.
Yeah.
It's awesome, you know. It's like,
yeah,
I think that was one thing I sort of missed in the Book of Boba Fett, was that there was no Empire, I don't think, touched on at all.
No.
Didn't see it, which was really interesting, because normally the Empire is present somewhere across the board. You'll see something of it. I think the only bit, there was a scene when he's getting onto the shuttle to leave, and he had to leave, the Mandalorian, when he reappears. Mm-hmm. There was a guy going up the ramp onto the transport ship who was in a Range Trooper's jacket.
Yep.
But that was it. Just random dude in his and he's saying, like, you know. Yeah. But it's not, you know, you notice these little things
Exactly. I mean, it's the mix of the Pike Syndicate coming from the Solo movie all the way through here, or you know, the Crimson Dawn stuff. You know, there's little elements to it.
That I'd like to see more of. I mean, I don't think they're going to do another Solo movie. I don't think they were going to plan to, but it left me wanting more. I wanted to know all about the Crimson Dawn and Maul and all of that stuff. Was you know, so it definitely, I think, yeah, Solo could have been probably done a little better.
But as you say, yeah, I mean, it adds things to it. It's the same as Rogue One. You know, that was an epic movie.
That was awesome.
But it was very much, you know, the end was very dramatic.
Yes.
But it had to happen. It was that, you know, continuity to the movies, as you say, that you went to the cinema to see.
Yeah, and that, yeah, for me, Rogue One, in a way, my little universe starts at Rogue One. In a way, if you were going to sort of talk about the prequels, Rogue One for me was enough. You didn't need the prequels.
Yeah.
That was just awesome. It was such a great, great, great film that was.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I've seen it. It's just, and that the last sequence with Vader going through that corridor just blew me away. It was just so good.
Yeah. And I think that's it. You know, when it's the same with Mandalorian at the end of that, you know, when Luke comes out of that and R2's there, it's like, you know, you got that little shiver.
Yeah, exactly. The hairs on the back of your neck stand up. You're like, oh, yeah. The whole way, the way they've done it, the way they've built it, the music, the drama, and that, you know, the whole thing, and then bang, there it is, there's Luke. You know, you just go, oh, my God. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
It's joining the Baby Yoda show.
So tell us a bit more about kind of, you know, how you got into the kind of modelling side and making side of it. You know, why did you do that as well then? Because was it, you know, that they weren't releasing enough toys at the time? Were you?
I was in Asia. It was, you couldn't get, there weren't many play sets out, only the stuff that you find on eBay, the older stuff. I don't think at the time Hasbro were really making more play sets at that point. And there were things, scenes and things that I wanted to make when I bought some of the toys for my kids. And I wanted something that I could, like, modular in a way, that I could just build it and put it away. And it also didn't matter if it got broke, because they were pretty young.
Yeah.
And so I'd started messing around in Photoshop, making some like backgrounds, and I had access to like an A3 printer, and I got hold of some like foam board,
yeah,
and just had
bit of spray mount.
stick them on, and then you had these sort of backdrops, so you could make a hangar, you could make a rebel base, and it sort of grew into stacks and stacks of boards.
Yeah.
That you could play with, fold it away, move it around, and I think that's the ultimate thing, is being able to store this stuff. It's a big hobby.
And yeah.
So I'm so jealous of some of the guys in the States that have these vast houses. They've got the entire floor dedicated to their collections, and you're watching it, you're like, oh, I just so wish I could do something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so for me, it was like a space thing. And coming from marketing, dealing with polyboard and spray mat all the time, going, that's my go-to. I know that. I can make something from that. And then then that grew, the modelling bit of it grew more when we came back to the UK into, I had a little dedicated space then, and I wanted to, it's scrap building. It's, I mean, I'll send some shot, but some of the, that is the top of a Kinder Egg.
Yeah.
With some Tamiya model, I think they're rocket. I think it's some bazooka or something like that.
Right.
Stuck on, weathered and sprayed.
Yeah.
There's a bigger, the moist evaporator.
Yeah, yeah.
That's an Actimel bottle.
Okay, right.
Some tank tracks.
Yeah.
A tank wheel.
Yeah.
The top of a... I can't remember what that was now. There's that's the top of a vape bottle.
Yep.
And that's a raw plug.
Right.
It was like what I had lying around, and there's a bottle top.
Yeah.
And you put it together, and it's weird to look at when before it's sprayed or painted or anything. I think this was the first thing I really did. Just going, and for me, it was more about, it's like background shapes. The toys and the heroes are the heroes, but what I was lacking was, I need some shape in the background, soft, something out of focus that gives it its look.
Yeah.
And I guess it sort of started growing from that. I found these are great. I've got a load of these. It's the sink.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Open the sink, so Wix or B&Q or whatever.
Yeah.
With old spruce.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Glued on and painted, and it was that's. Just mess it up.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Destroy it. And they were. Then I did. I had some. Yeah, so different. Like, Empire-y.
Okay, so you've done that different color. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Just sort of, and then just again, and every now and then it stayed sort of nice grey looking for ages, and then I just started scratching silver over it. I come back to it and start fiddling with it again. Like, oh, it's not quite. Trying to, I wouldn't have said ever. Perfect it, but
that's what they used to do when they used to build all the models anyway, right? Yeah. Is they used to use anything and everything.
It is there's that droid that's the water tank, isn't there, in the Boba Fett. There's a droid there that I think you've got one on your site.
Yeah
It's literally a water tank.
It's a just a water butt basically. Yeah. From the garden. Yeah. I mean, it's They'll use anything, right? And I think that's the joy of what Star Wars is all about. Is there's always random pipes and stuff that, as you say, you can just throw together.
Nesquik.
Right. Yeah.
Nesquik works. Take the paper off, and I was like, oh, it's a carton. It's all right.
And that's just a flat color with some washes over the top.
Yeah, it's just that acrylic. It's that acrylic. Paint just sprayed on.
Yep.
And then I think it is. Yeah, I've just dirty brushed, dry brushed.
Yep.
And super glue, tank traps and sprues. Again, that was quite an early one. But it's just like it's background.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
It's also getting that contrast between the dirt and the light and the dark.
Yeah. Yeah, which is always, it takes a bit of experience sometimes, or luck.
Yeah, there's some frames. Well, the thing is that you can paint over it, you keep going. Sometimes that works. Other times you go, well, you know what, I'll get another Nesquik bottle when the kids finish their milkshakes.
Yeah.
And I'll have another crack at it.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's seeing little things as well. When you're like, without doing the advertising, these little candy things.
Right.
And I thought, well, that's pretty cool.
They look like little barrels, right?
Yeah, they're like little barrels. So
yeah.
Dirty it up, spray it, or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just seeing it and then going.
Yeah, it's really weird because when. Like you know, you kind of when I came up with the idea for the marketplace set, yeah. Right? I thought, oh yeah, nobody's done that before, so I'll do something. My God, that was popular. I mean, it was just like I couldn't keep up with production because it was like everybody wanted them because, as you say, nobody'd done them before, and you know, everybody was using them in a context and scene, but it was like, oh, I haven't got that material, so. And as you say, not everyone can do, you know, or has the skill. I mean, it doesn't take long to make these things, but sometimes everybody.
Yeah, so something I want to get, I was going to use some the bits of material, you know, the awnings that go over the buildings. That's something that I want to do. That defeats part of my object of being able to move around a bit.
Yeah.
You've got the light.
Yeah, that sun's in my eyes.
But it's finding the material that's right. There's something that I found with some of the vintage toys, like the soft goods. The material is still a little bit too large, I feel, for the scale.
So I use, for the awnings, for the stuff I've used, I use non-branded baby wipes.
Oh, okay.
Right? So they've got a really good material that you can fray at the end as well, but they retain. They're not like kind of paper or anything. So they've got a really good kind of, you let them dry, and then basically if you just put a little light, like PVA glue, you know, just coating on, they hold their shape as well.
Ah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'll have to try that.
Yeah.
That and some... just what did I find? Oh, I think they're just like kebab skewers. You know, just like wooden ones like that that I could, you know, that you can and just hold them together and that.
That's
brilliant, actually, because I've been for like old T-shirts, stuff like that. I was like, nah, it's not right.
It's too thick. Yeah.
Yeah. It is, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And too heavy.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, you, as you say, you do everything. You go through and you kind of, you know, I've got boxes of stuff and, you know. I mean, I'm quite lucky because obviously with the 3D printing, I have a lot of failures as well. Everybody thinks that it's this great little piece of technology, is not. So, you know, I've got boxes of the stuff where it's failed, but it's like I've got evaporators where I've printed and half of it's just missing. But it's like fantastic because I can use that then. I can make it and I can put little, as you say, little bits of wire in there and stuff and make it look like a damaged one, you know. So nothing is thrown away, really.
It's the broken up bits, the smashed up things, the explosives.
Yeah.
There's been an attack. It's, you know, another story then that comes out of your head and you go, oh, I can just do that, you know.
Yeah.
So many people were... wondering whether the Razor Crest was going to get, you know, the smashed up version of it. Some guys are doing a crowdfunding to blow one up. I'm sure there'll be one. They did one with the barge. I think Hasbro did one with the barge, didn't they?
Yeah.
And a guy wrote to me the other day. Actually, I did a within the week back the Razor Crest when it got blown up. When I think it was just when they announced the packaging. I did a quick Photoshop of literally the box with the crater, and the Mandalorian figure sort of large in the corner. It just said "surprised Mandalorian figure included," and some guy was asking if I had the artwork. like, who does anyone have the artwork for this? Like, and I was like, oh, I did it. Yeah. I don't know if it's high resolution enough because he wants to make a box.
Right.
So I'll try and help him out. I think he's in Michigan, I think, some of that.
Right.
Found it. I was like, oh, you mean this one that I posted, like, yeah. I don't know, ages ago. And he goes, yeah, that's it. That's
yeah.
the one.
Yeah. So you got your Razor Crest as well. So, you know, what drove you to get that? I mean, because it wasn't cheap.
No, it wasn't. No, it took a bit of convincing for me and definitely my wife.
Yeah.
It's an investment. It's
So is golf, right?
Yeah, sort of, yeah. But, yeah, you can sell your clubs, I guess, can't you?
It's an expensive. You can sell your Razor Crest if you want to. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I was... I think it's become, I think a lot of friends will go, it's become like an addiction in a way. It's. I used to pick and choose. I still do to a point. I'm not the guy that, I'm not going, oh, I'm going to go for the 96 or I need to finish this wave. I normally pick on characters and figures and stuff that I like, that I enjoy. Mandalorian, I think, just opened up so much more stuff. One new ship, I mean,
yep.
was awesome. And all the buzz around all of that at the time, the show was going brilliantly. I was absolutely adoring it.
Yeah.
And it was, when they announced it, I still couldn't go, I still wasn't prepared for how large it was going to be. Then. Oh, it's large, it's large. And you know, getting to the hype, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to back this.
Yeah.
And then you just wait, 16 months. it's supposed to come last. I was getting excited last summer.
Right.
Last summer going, it's coming in the fall. It's coming, you know, autumn's coming. It's, you know, then it's all the delays. And,
yeah.
But it's
been worth it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, totally. Yeah. I quickly, I'll bring it out for the... everyone's seen it. And it is heavy, and it is just, you know...
Yeah.
It's a beast.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I mean, it's so well... It's so well done. Yeah. I'm so glad that it's, you know, that it's here, that I've got it. Every time, you know, it's like Chris, the Hasbro design guy. You know, he's so right. Every time you look at it, you see something else.
I think it's the studio scale as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's something that... it's... when I was putting it together and that, I've still got to do the weapons locker.
Right.
I've actually ordered some longer tweezers. I've been recommended. a lot of people said you need to disassemble it.
Okay.
To get a hand in... Well, to get or get a kid with smaller hands to get all the weapons in.
Right.
So I'm going to set some time away and curse away at it probably.
Yeah. I've seen somebody actually start to light there, so they've actually drilled holes where the engine is and started to put wiring. I couldn't do that. I don't think I could do that.
No, I've actually ordered some little tiny LEDs.
Mm. Mm.
I think they're arriving today, actually. Another guy I'd seen... some shots of the interior, and they were like, oh, how have you done that? Because there were like lots of little light, like three lights, I think, along the interior bit, which lit it beautifully. And it's just a bit of blue tack, and I got these little LED lights from that popular website. And so I thought, well, you know what, I'll order some of them and have a play. And actually, I can put them in other things. Yeah. As well, so I mean, that's the other thing I'm doing when I'm building my little dioramas. It's the lighting, and it's playing with that,
yeah.
Experimenting, and every time and just being able to move around. I've got a little just an LED.
Just adjust this. Yeah, carry on.
Yeah, I've got an LED light.
Yep.
Light thing.
Yeah.
It changes colours. You can dim it and whatever. It wasn't so expensive. I can put it on a stand. And you can move it with your phone or whatever, because all the shots I'm doing, I mean, I've got a lovely Nikon and stuff, but most of it I just do with my phone, because I can get into the detail, and you can stick the phone in at a funny angle and push it through a door, and it's not a camera that you got, you know, set it up differently or whatever. And it's just, it's just that I use some, I think I had a bowl of Christmas lights, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know, yeah, little LED lights.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen those. Yeah.
Chuck them around, even just as a ball behind the door, or it casts a shadow and it just tries to bring everything to life.
Yeah.
You know, and more. And it's the, I've got, it will, I've got to stick it down, but I've got, it's like for model railways.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so I found someone that did, normally you'd always get the grass.
Yeah.
The grass roll. I found a desert.
Okay.
On nice. eBay.
Right.
And it's got little stones. To be honest, it's a bit like, I guess, like sort of sandpaper with stones that have been glued onto it.
Yeah.
Make it soft, to be honest.
Okay.
But I just thought, that's great. You can just, I've got to flatten it. And then I can stick some buildings on it.
Mm.
And then I've got like a little board that I can just take away.
Yeah.
And they do, I think they do an urban one as well, which is like a more like a sort of grey, dark grey tarmac-y.
Okay.
So, yeah. I mean, my bits have more been around, I guess, Tatooine in a way.
Yeah.
Just, it's easier, but I wouldn't mind doing some darker stuff.
Yep.
Nevarro.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Again, it's building... It's those buildings, whether or not maybe I'll repaint some of my buildings or or make some new ones. I have bought some more polyboard, so I was going to do some arches. I've got another thing you can use, Lego, I found.
Yep.
Those, they're like the struts.
Yeah.
The support struts.
Okay, I haven't seen those before.
Sort of like went, oh yeah, I can do that, and some little just bits of wire. And yep. Again, it's just an arch that I just stick against buildings.
Yeah.
And move it around.
I was going to say, I recognise that.
Gold at the moment. It's got to be more weathery.
Right. But it is, yeah, as you say, I mean, it's just the...
Bits.
Yeah, a couple of bits of... you stick it together. I mean, how do you stick your foam ball together?
That I think that's just... what's it called?
PVA?
PVA.
Oh, so okay.
That's like two...
Yep, yeah.
Two stuck together.
Right, till three.
Roughly cut out, and then, I mean, again, because it doesn't have to be lovely and smooth. And I mean, I've noticed in the last, in some of the buildings in the a lot of the buildings, they're a lot smoother than mine.
Yeah.
My Polly, don't ask me to plaster your house.
Yeah.
Well, I had some rather smooth ones, but then I wasn't getting the, when I was lighting it, it was just too smooth for me and too clean. I wanted it sort of like a bit messed up, and you get the contrast come through then.
That's it. I mean, it's the same that I do on mine, you know, it just, you want that kind of texture to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. You need that. And also that acrylic paint gives a little bit of nice texture.
Mm.
It's quite fine, but it's quite good.
Yeah.
Another thing I had is Playmobil.
Okay.
So I saw it on the Playmobil site. Another couple of yours. It was earlier, but it's a fire tower.
Oh, okay.
And I just thought, so I just like, well, yeah, what can I do with that? I don't know what to do with it now.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, it was more of like, okay, I could put something. I just printed. I mean, the sign came with it. It had a fire sign or whatever.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like, oh, I'll print out an empire thing.
Yeah.
And it's and then yeah, just sort of again, I'll probably go over and over and over, just weather a little bit. And I'm using Tamiya black.
Yep.
Which. Panel line accent colour.
Yep. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Which is always good.
It doesn't go in like paint. It sort of soaks and explodes a little bit. And then I just rub it with my fingers. And
that's right. Yep.
Get it, you know, and just, again, it's just play with it and build it. Layer. It's layers, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like Photoshop.
Yeah.
It's just layers.
Yeah.
3D printing. Layers.
I know.
I like the layers.
Yeah. It's the same when I do the, like, painting the heads or painting the creatures. It's like there's always a, you know, five or six layers, you know, there's the base color and then you add various other tones and colors, and you've got that dark pin wash, you know, which is a, you know, kind of where you know, cheek bits would be or done in the eyes, and then you've got the light bit as well.
Yeah. It's play with it, having fun with it, and don't be nervous about it, isn't it, really? I think
that's it.
I don't have the airbrushes. I see some of these shots, some of these groups, the dioramas on Facebook, and it's stunning work. I mean, really, I don't have, it's the time as well.
Yeah.
Time to put into it. It's minor, quite quick and dirty, I guess, but they bring me my happiness, and then I come back to it maybe and go, oh, maybe I'll just change that, I'll tweak that.
Yeah.
I think I've redone. So there was one. Actually, I was doing it last night. So.
Okay. Yeah.
This was a bit darker. The whole building was a bit darker.
Yeah.
Well, the bottle cap.
Yep.
That's a bit of Lego.
Yeah, I know that bit of Lego.
No, that's a great bit. these bits, that's all Lego. The whole unit's Lego.
I
ordered it from the Lego site, just like spare bits.
Yes, yeah.
And they're really quite cheap. If you order enough, then the postage is, I was ordering some sets for my son for birthday, whatever. But I thought, well, last night I was sort of going, you know what, I'm just going to go over it again, a lighter colour. Again, it's just...
I mean, what I tend to do as well is, for some convenience, I've got various other kind of, silicone molds that I can use or whatever. So I'll make those kind of greebly bits and, I'll make a mold of it because I know that other people want them. Right. So I'm making it for me, but it's like, well, I'll make a mold out of that. Or, there's some quick material as well that you can get from that very famous website that you do in the microwave. And it's like a gel that you heat up in the microwave and you pour it into, like a mold, a Lego mold or whatever, with your kind of part in the bottom, and it sets, and you can do some quick casts of that afterwards as well, which is quite convenient. So, it's like, it's not as good as doing proper silicone molds. So my first silicone mold was okay, but I got a lot of bubbles in it. And then, I made the investment to buy a vacuum chamber. And, so I built up the materials over time and the equipment over time in order to kind of, make smooth molds.
That's what it is. Yeah, that's another thing I got. I was in a pet shop, I think, something like that. Fish tank.
Yeah. Yep. a lot of people. You use the fish tank wood as well.
That stuff's pretty good. Yeah, and the you've got the other stuff for the reptiles as well, haven't you? So there's the wood. There's the the fish tank thing.
All the grains as well. The gravel and grains. They're all different finesses. Yeah,
I was going to build I've got a load of sand.
Mm-hmm.
We bought two bags from my son's fish tank. We only used one. There's another one downstairs. So I was thinking, well, I might make a tray for it. I don't know how big to make it yet, but and just do that. That's something I have, then you've got real material. That becomes...
And that's what I do for my photography. So I'll do I'll just literally get a tray, pour the sand on it, put the background, all the things on it, take the photograph, and then, pour the sand back in the bag.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the thing. I put it out. Then put it away again.
Yeah.
Now I've got the crest because originally all my buildings were there was a little street scene basically that I could just move around and do some shots, move around again. Now I've got the crest. I've got a logistical problem of where I'm going to keep it, store it.
Yeah.
Some of the buildings, it's fun. It's quite a wide one.
Yeah.
And it's like I've got a separate staircase
that
I can
move
around. Sometimes I'll put that somewhere else. And it's just for the shots, right? It's just
And what do you do? Do you just have an idea in your head? Do you sketch it out? I mean
the buildings I had an idea. I wanted to make some facades, basically, and it had grown from the polyboard,
right?
Sort of things. Photoshop. Just sort of like, and literally, it's all flat, which
yeah,
it's great for distance backgrounds, things like that. But I wanted, I think it was during lockdown, to be honest. I mean, I was working, but I was, you know, you're at home and you're like,
yeah.
I don't know, I'd seen a couple of people that were selling buildings. So I think there's Empire Toy Works. He makes some awesome
I know.
Stuff. And his room is just like the attic there. I've forgotten the name of it now, but the whole, how he's, basically how he's stored everything has turned his shelves and everything into some play feature.
I know.
It's lit and it's just, and it's funny as well. It, and it's not just your Star Wars world. It's, you know.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. I've seen his work. Yeah.
It's great. And I was like, I wonder if I could do, you know, make something. I'm sure I could make something. It was literally an experiment of sitting at my desk with a cutting mat and a bit of trial and error. I reckon if I'd probably planned it, I probably would end up similar sort of result. I had a thought in my head, and it was just, you know, cutting bits out, getting the shapes, putting them, sort of putting it together, so, cut a little bit more off of that or round that corner or whatever. Then I guess, yeah, getting the basic shape of it right, and then it was like, now what? Now I've got to colour, cover it in something.
Yeah, and you've got to scale it. I mean, I think that's the thing as well, isn't it? You've got to make sure it's...
Yeah, you've got to figure that out. So how big do I want that door? Or the door in... Yeah, the door in there, which actually comes out, is...
okay, that's cool.
It's a bit of polyboard and some cardboard, I think a very thin cardboard, I think, and I just cut some shapes and went, it's all...
Yeah. Yep.
To be honest, the other day that was blue. And I went over it. I went over it with the sandy colour. Maybe it will go again. And each time it will just change. You know, just But it, I wanted something that I could one wasn't too big, although it grew a bit too big. But, you know, maybe I could probably do them flat.
Yeah.
Just so then I could store it, or not completely flat, but just literally the facade.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the space that you get, and then you can just move things around. And it, but then the play sets, are, you know, Hasbro, the Tentif came out.
Yeah.
And I've got two of them, and that you know, some people had ordered. I've seen some of the shots where they've got eight, and they assemble it all together. And it's just vast.
Yeah.
And it's that was one, I think. I know some people are like, what? How much money for just some walls? But that makes all the difference.
Yeah. I think that, you know, for me as well, that's my kind of ultimate goal is to have a big enough space where I can literally have a whole room, you know, that is just one particular kind of scene, you know, like the way that people have their model trains set up, you know. And
yeah, that's what it is. It's trying to, I've got a bookcase beside me, which it's filling. I've got so many boxes of just troops that are loose.
Yeah.
Then I started going, do I want to open that? Maybe I'll keep that in. And then I order from the guy in Hong Kong.
Right.
Tang Hori. So if a new figure's coming out, the vintage, I might order one from him that I'll use.
Yeah.
And the one that comes from Star Action Figures, I won't open.
Right.
that will stay in the box. That looks good. I'm not going to grade it or anything like that, but it will stay in the box. Maybe one day I'll open it, or maybe my grandkids will open it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or I'll log it. But it's grown definitely into more of an addiction.
Yeah.
The shelf. And then it's getting, like I said earlier, getting the things that you didn't have or you wanted as a kid. Like I found the Emperor's Shuttle from Return of the Jedi. So the one that they used to go down to the to Endor on. It doesn't have the loading ramp, the entrance ramp. I've seen a few 3D printed. I'm not precious. I've got the rear cannon. I found one of those on eBay and got that one. But again, it's large. Where do I, you know, on the shelf? So that's next to the Slave One.
Yep.
the vintage collection slave one, which is on display, they're the same height. So it's just a really big, big depth of the shelf, which then goes, right, now I've got smaller shelves.
Yeah.
To put other bits on.
Yeah, I got the slave one at the back there, which from a guy on Facebook Marketplace. And I'm planning to repaint it, and you know, because it's
my son's got that one.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, I kind of it's sitting there. I've got the I've got Luke's speeder as well, the Black Series one, which again, you know, and I'm planning to kind of, you know, really add a lot more detail to it and respray it, because I've seen somebody else on Facebook. He reprimed it. And he resprayed it because it's a bit plasticky and it looks a bit artificial. And, you know, I kind of like to go for a bit more authenticity. So, you know, I'm planning to respray that.
It needs the dirt on it, doesn't it? It's but interesting enough, when I get, I just put it to one side, but I always think space is actually a vacuum that's quite clean. But you see these old grungy ships that have probably never landed on a planet because that's the only place they'd pick up dirt.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go, where did that dirt come from? But I'm never going to, don't question it.
yeah. And that's the thing, isn't it? You're like the Naboo fighter or whatever, or, you know, Queen Amidala's ship was always the shiny ship. And it's like everything else is really dirty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is all worse. Yeah, it's the print they polishes that, actually. Yeah.
I think that was the great thing about the Millennium Falcon when they showed it in Solo. It's like, it's a shiny ship.
It was a shiny ship. Got ruined quite quickly. That scene when he lands it at the end and it just limps in. I will be back in my ship.
And I think that's the same with the Razor Crest, you know, when it fell in the water and all that kind of things, and, you know, patched it up, you know.
It's so good. Yeah, he lands on that. Yeah.
It's held together with sticky tape, you know. I don't think, you know, they can make, I think that's the difference with Star Wars stuff, is they make fun of themselves as well. You know, they can, there's a bit of joke going on, really, with everything.
Yeah, there is. Segues up somewhere, and or a little hint of something, and I think that's really important actually. Now I think you have to be able to laugh at yourself, you know, in the right places. Marvel did that, I think.
Yeah,
with Thor, with the Ragnarok. I mean, that was hilarious.
Yeah, yeah,
and it was so good because it just lifts, it takes it to another level of and I think possibly Deadpool probably started all of that, really going. Just literally talking to camera, like, that's just my thing. And you're like, what? I think it needed it. You know, there is a danger that it can all become very, very serious. And it's like a... And we've got to remember what it is. It is entertainment. It's in our hearts. And we love it.
Yeah.
But you need those little bits of humour, because I think that brings it to life, makes it more real.
Yeah.
It makes it more believable.
Yeah, yeah.
People are like that.
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
definitely.
It's just they can be sarcastic. They can, you know. I mean, everything with Mandalorian, it was just he was brilliant. I think I was different. Weirdly, when he took his helmet off. I know I'd seen the actor and everything, but I don't know. I still can't put his face on Mandalorian. Yeah. I don't know why. It just doesn't seem to fit. He's brilliant. But you know, the IG unit was just so well. It was so well done.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you first meet him, he's just going to keep trying to self-destruct.
Yes.
don't self-destruct. You know, it's the drama, but it's, you know, that's what a droid would be doing.
Yeah.
That's his programming, right?
And
it's,
that's right.
You know, he's got a separate agenda.
Yeah.
Never really found out who hired him.
No, that's true.
He was supposed to destroy, he was supposed to kill the target.
Yeah.
But who hired him to do that?
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
We found that out, actually.
No.
I don't think we did. No, I'm pretty certain we never found out. And of course, he's destroyed. We'll never know.
But it, as you say, it showed other scenes. It showed the you know, the the remnants of what was left of the Empire and stuff, you know, and people hanging on to something, you know, the New Republic change and all that kind of stuff. As I say, it's taken it in so many different story arcs.
Yes.
It means that there's such an opportunity.
Exactly. I mean, how the you know, the Outer Rim is behaving and how it, their attitude, funnily enough, it's just like some of them are almost treating the New Republic like the Empire in a way. Oh, here they come again, come to bother us. I mean, at least they're not going to shoot them or whatever, but it's quite interesting, that whole take on it.
Yeah.
I mean, I just can't wait to see more of that.
Yeah. Well, as I say, we've got plenty of shows this year.
Yeah, exactly. And, we've got Obi-Wan. It's that May, isn't it? May 23rd, I think, something like that. Mm. I can't wait for that. I think that's loads of flashbacks and Obi-Wan stalking a child in the desert. That's going to be weird. But, you know, I also just Rebels and Clone Wars. It took a while for me to get into Rebels because I didn't really like the animation style to start with. Mm. It took a bit to grow on me, but it's awesome actually. I mean, and then you, in a way you forget that the stories were great.
Yes.
You know the stories, and then of course we got the ghost. Maybe that. I mean, I've definitely never got the room. Everyone's trying to get the ghost made as a HasLab project. That would be just ridiculous.
And that's it. You know, it's like everybody, that we're playing catch up, you know, to try and produce stuff. I mean, you know,
keep up.
And I
pre-ordered a Dark Trooper. That came up, the Black Series Dark Trooper. He's not going to be available until 2023. Right, but I mean, the whole pre-ordering thing's gone a bit nuts.
But it is production, as you say. You know, they've got to make the masters, the molds. You know, they've got to the equipment to produce, and then they've got to take enough orders in order to justify it as well.
I think something that when everyone's going on about the pre-order, right? But the pre-order allows them to know, give them a better figure in their heads of how many they need to produce, and you don't end up with all these peg warmers. Hanging around the shops, and you know, there's still in my local shop, there's still stuff from Solo.
Yep.
You know, you and they're not going to take any more on until they've emptied that. And even though it's on sale, a lot of the figures are the figure you only need one of. It's not army building or whatever.
Yeah.
The annoying thing about it is was getting hold of. For your army building or whatever. I mean, I'd love the Hasbro. These.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, you know, a couple of those. But it's, again, it's not a cheap hobby, is it? So it's. I can't.
No.
Again, very jealous of our American friends that, you know, they're doing it in dollars, and here they're just literally. Take the dollar sign.
I was gonna say, those that can walk into Target and buy something for a couple of dollars where it's you know, 30 or 40 pounds here, you know,
big investment here. It's like, I've got the Stormtrooper set of that sold out on Hasbro, like that. So I've got through a connection with my brother, a guy bought some in the States, and shipping should be soon actually,
right?
He's got them, I think he's waiting for something else to come in, But yeah, that side of the collecting, I think we're a bit luckier with the exclusives when they will turn up in Zavi or Star Action Figures or, but the guys in the States, they have issues with Target. It would be on pre-order and then they cancel it. And I see all these posts and I really feel for it, but that makes it really hard to love the hobby. Now, I mean, it's for a company, they're selling product anyway.
Yep. Yep.
And it's flying off the shelves. It's certainly from conversations that I had and overheard a while ago, because it was, 3 years ago? So it hadn't. I think it's just in the last 2 years, since Mandalorian, I think it's really sort of taken off for them. And it's probably surprised them as well.
Mm-hmm.
But they have or had a warehouse full of Star Wars toys that they reckoned would probably be cheaper to burn it down and claim the insurance.
Right.
They couldn't shift it. And it's certain figures that, you know, a million Snokes or half, you know, whatever raise.
Yeah.
You only need one of those, and not everyone wants it. And so they're just left with them, and they're still in the shops.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But I think now they're playing catch up.
Yeah.
I think they're, which is, you know, it's fine. We'll get there. It's the I've got the I don't know what you think about the Boba Fett's the new playset they just launched. It's, I mean, I love it, and it's got all your little spoons and all the glasses.
I know. Yeah.
But it's too much. I think it's too much money.
I
was hovering, and I haven't. I don't know if I will or not. It's a lot.
Yeah.
For that. I mean, that's, yeah, it's 209 quid. The Razor Crest was 350.
Yeah.
I know it's a big set, but there's a limitation. I don't know. Yeah. Not sure. I mean, I think, like, the stuff like the Tentive 5 and the... I got the Varro bar. My only gripe with that, one, cardboard door.
Ooh, okay. Right. Otherwise,
cardboard door. Funny enough, I've taken it off and I stick it behind some of my buildings. It's, you know, what I thought I might do was actually I might just scan that.
Yeah.
And I could knock a few more out just in the similar vein. But
yeah.
It's not great. And also, it's only one-sided. So all the shots that he showed you, when I was like, I wonder if they've got the other side, because that would have been great to have both sides of the wall. So you've got, what you can do with it is you can take out the, again, cardboard window and swap it for a nice one, or there's a blown up one.
Okay.
But the problem, it's the back of it, which you never see, actually.
Right.
So I felt a little bit cheated.
That's even worse.
But what you know, I mean, the inside's great. It's cool, but I'm not sure whether it's again, the price point. But
yeah, but as you say, we buy them, don't we?
We buy it. We can't if if nobody bought it. Well, they wouldn't make it, and you know, you build it, people will come.
Yeah,
but it's got all the it's all the little. A little drink bottles. There's even a smashed bottle where it's shot through, which is they're pretty cool little.
Nice.
Really nicely done.
Yeah.
So I can't fault that, and I know I've added. I can't see it. So I made. Okay, champagne.
Okay.
Plastic champagne top.
Yeah.
Handy little seat.
Nice. You need some more of that.
Yeah, I've got two of those because they sit in the bar, and then I've got a little. I think it's a kid's.
Okay.
Block that you put shapes in.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Like a not a Duplo one.
Table.
Right. Yeah.
Sit them together.
Yeah.
And it's about the right height. And I had that. Before the. Playset, and I was like, "Oh, great! I can do a whole bar scene now."
Yeah.
Mando sat down and I just knocked it all over. That is the only problem with these. Hey, standing them up.
Yep.
And if I've come in a couple of times into the room and knocked the shelf because it's right next to the door.
Oh.
And you just hear that.
Been there.
It's only a couple, but they're. What's the other thing? It's scrappy bits, isn't it? It's finding stuff. I don't even know what that was. Some kind of electric called unit.
Yeah.
I don't know. Spray it, stickers, I don't know.
Yeah.
it just goes on things. This is quite heavy, actually. It's a, I don't know what.
It's like some sort of water pump thing.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know, is it?
Yeah.
Spray it. That's been too clean. I need to ruin it. one of the first things that it's been sat in the cupboard. I got it out for this actually. Just like it's just finding things and going.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that looks pretty cool. do something with that, probably.
Yeah. I took an old Dyson to bits, and there's the cylinder, which I'm going to use as a side of a building, a big water tank. But the engine in it, I took it a bit. So I've been challenged by the wife to say, don't throw it away, just recycle every single piece. So,
why not? That's the thing, isn't it? I just find stuff. Sometimes the kids come home with something, or an old toy. Ketchup bottle tops. Quite interesting. I just collect it, and maybe I could do something with that.
Yeah, as you say, you just spend a few hours in the evening gluing them all together, give them a quick prime, and
My wife bought me a glue gun.
Yep.
For Christmas.
Right.
I was going to. That allows bigger stuff. Super glue's been brilliant for little things like that.
Yeah.
A glue gun, I'm not sure whether that'll be. It's too big. But gluing big elements together, I think will be great for that.
Yeah.
But I've just been doing so many little things. I mean, I don't know, it's like a little sort of chimney stack to go on a building.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like I think that's a juice.
It looks like a juice cap, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's a Smarties.
Right.
You take the cardboard tube.
Right.
That's the plastic, so it's all got these little edges and that.
Yeah.
And again, it's shapes, isn't it? It's just...
That's it.
The building, and I can move it, or I can put it somewhere else, or it can go on the floor. That's what I like about it, is that you can just move stuff around, and that's what they're doing. You're reusing and repurposing.
Exactly. Yeah.
All these little props.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, thank you, Gillian. I mean, it's just been a brilliant chat, you know. But you know, for me, it's like, you know, I'm driven like you to kind of make stuff, and I enjoy kind of, you know, sticking bits together and kind of coming up with new stuff as well. But, you know, it's great to see what you've been doing and kind of, you know, love to, show off some of your work and stuff. So I'll kind of make sure all your, you know, social stuff is on the video and everything for everybody to follow. But I appreciate the time.
That's all right. You're welcome.